KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geeks Inter Talk Show here on KSCU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the underground sound. First off, I want to apologize to our fans and anyone listening right now. There were some accidents on the road. Basically, if you're on 880, I'd probably advise like going somewhere else. Because,
stay away from it.
Yeah, because One Direction, there was a fire on one side that was being put out. And then apparently on the other direction, there were some accidents. So, that's kind of why we're starting a lot later than we normally do. So yeah. We apologize, but
880 for some reason is experiencing the end of days.
Yeah. So yeah, there's our little traffic report. But yeah, we're here now, ready to rock you with the geek stuff.
Yes, right.
On Robots Attack. So gentlemen, how have you been?
Been good. Been really good. This weekend I got to actually attend my first tech conference ever, and that was WordCamp SF. That's San Francisco. And it was okay. A heck of a lot of fun. There was roughly 1,000 people at the conference, and it's if you're interested in WordPress development, it's actually a really good conference to go to. It's inexpensive intentionally. It's only $40 for the whole weekend, and that includes a catered lunch, which is totally awesome.
Huh.
And then you get to spend 2 days hanging out with people that are totally into web stuff and into
WordPress.
So
complete and total nerds is what you're saying.
Yes, it is glorious.
Nice.
How about you guys?
Let's see. I've been doing a little bit of gaming lately. I ended up taking advantage of a few of the sales that have been running across Xbox's main pages and grabbed some fighting games that I'd been meaning to grab for a long time, which made me happy. I finally reclaimed my Soul Calibur addiction that I've sat down for a long time, and ended up grabbing the Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, which I need to get used to playing again.
Mm.
And I haven't done driving games in a really long time either. So I ended up grabbing the Dirt 2 game because it was dirt cheap.
nice.
Yeah. Always bring those right around. And I'd assume that it's mostly because Dirt 3 is coming out pretty soon. But but yeah, I've always loved the rally games. They're so much fun. Like, it's so cool feeling completely out of control and then managing to control that.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I don't know how to explain it better than that.
Makes sense. I'm sure some of our racing fans out there are like, I totally get what you're saying, man.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you can get those turns, if you can own them, make them yours, it's a good feeling.
And give it that little gentle crust as you slide by.
Shh, yeah.
Something. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I have to be gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I say that voice both as encompassing both male and female, because I don't want to do a female voice because Caleb has forbidden it.
it's best left unsaid. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering what I missed.
Well, there's archives for that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, my exciting week has just been trying to catch up back on sleep.
That is exciting.
Yeah. Working and more working. So, yeah, it's been super exciting.
Nice. Given, it's not a bad combination.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm definitely glad for the extra hours after Comic-Con. It's like, yeah, I definitely need the money. So,
that'll do it.
Not
to
terribly
you,
fun, but yeah. that was mine. But something more exciting. The show, tonight's show, is going to be awesome.
Yes, super excited.
Today's show, depending on when you're listening to this, because we podcast the show as well. We've got a great show. In the core, we're going to talk about July movies. Mm-hmm. There's been a plethora of films released this month. Unfortunately, we did not see all of them, but we did see a couple. So we're going to talk about those. And we might mention some more Comic-Con stuff, but who knows? I think the movies are probably going to eat up most of our time, especially when we get talking and stuff and start throwing things at each other and whatnot. in the game...
Which makes great radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. so visual, mm-hmm. radio is.
Totally.
The game discussion, I've got a chance to finally play 400 Days, The Walking Dead. So I'll briefly talk about that a little bit. And
cool.
No Caleb's Corner this week, but of course, the news...
Yes.
Anything you want to tease the folks with?
Your motorcycle is now more like a jet plane.
Okay. All right. That sounds pretty good. That's cool. Enticing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to throw sort of a robot story out.
Ooh.
I believe I've done stuff similar to this, but this is really cool. Making people closer to being robots.
Oh.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, let's start this show off with a bang with the top five box office. All right, number one, The Wolverine with $55
million. Oh, wow. Solid opening.
Apparently, though, they expected a tad more, but still pretty good.
Yeah.
Number two, The Conjuring with $22.1 million.
Dang, still strong.
Number three, Despicable Me 2 with $16 million. Mm. Number four.
Still in the fight.
Yep. Number four, Turbo with 13.3. And for some reason, this movie just will not die. People, why are you seeing this? Stop going to see this unless you want to. But number five, Grown Ups 2 with 11.5 million.
I have to admit, I have like a morbid curiosity at this point. I haven't heard anything great about the movie, but now I feel like I almost need to see it because it's actually done pretty good.
Yeah.
Is it the lemming thing? Is that what it is?
I think it appeals
just running headlong for that cliff. Is that what's happening?
There's a certain amount of that, but I also suspect it hits that particular audience. And it feeds that particular audience like you know, it's
spoon feeds them Cheetos.
It's the filet mignon of this audience's food for film. So it's
okay. Yeah, I mean it does have a lot of really high end people for that genre, so
it's very true. It's very true. There's just other movies.
I mean, there's nothing higher than David Spade.
It's
absolutely
true.
Nothing.
It's true. Well, if that doesn't float your boat, here's some movies that are coming out later this week. We've got Smash and Grab, The Story of the Pink Panther. We've got Jason's favorite, The Smurfs 2, both in regular and 3D.
Ooh.
We've got When Comedy Went to School.
I just said it didn't look that bad.
Grateful Dead, Meet Up, Sunshine, Daydream. We've got Two Guns with Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington. So maybe one of them, like they're each one of the guns, I guess. I don't know.
Makes some sense.
Some movie called Cockneys versus Zombies.
Ooh.
We've got Drift.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Europa Report. Our Children. Paradise Hope. The Artist and the Model, The Canyons, The Machine Which Makes Everything Disappear. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, and The Spectacular Now. There you have it.
Okay. If you're looking to fill out your Blu-ray or DVD collection, you might check out Philly Brown or Black Rock. Perhaps Hijacked or The Hunting of Whaley House. Or maybe even Force of Evil.
Whoa. Or it's pretty evil.
Possibly 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hmm.
Evil?
No, just no?
Just that.
What? Oh, okay.
Four periods.
I thought it was like, wait for it. Okay.
No, there's actually dots in between all this for the pause.
Okay.
Nice, okay.
The birth of the alphabet. Think about it, people. Think about it.
It's hurting my head.
Is that all the...
That was...
Okay.
Slim week.
On to the video games. Not a very big week either. We got a game called Take on Mars. Another one called Realms of Arcania, Blade of Destiny. We've got Sir, You Are Being Hunted. We've got Rise of the Triad.
No, that is awesome.
That is an awesome
that
title.
That is awesome.
The title.
I don't care if it's the most horrid game ever. That's cool. Props to that guy who came up with that name.
Well, you can check it out. Rise of the Triad.
Again?
Castle Storm. Nico Land. Family Kart 3D. Cloudberry Kingdom. Looks like the PC and PS3 finally get the Black Ops 2 Vengeance DLC. There's Pixel Junk Monsters Ultimate HD and Dale Hard Shovel HD.
Well, there you are then. Let's see. If you're looking for something to add to your poll list this week, you might consider Batman Annual number 2. Collider number 1. From there, both out of the DC Vertigo line, Collider's Vertigo, that is.
Right.
On the Marvel side, there's Guardians of the Galaxy number 5. Now. And then.
Now.
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 Okay.
And then X-Men number 3.
Now?
Now.
Okay.
Then from the not big two publishers, there's Three Guns number 1, which is not.
Related to Two Guns?
It is exactly related to it's a
it
sequel.
Is?
It's the sequel to Two Guns.
Wow.
Already a sequel. All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Bedlam number 8. It's for mature readers. My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, number 9.
Ooh.
And Captain Midnight, number 1.
Which is a spinoff of My Little Pony, I've heard.
I cannot either confirm or deny this, but the cover did not look like it related.
Oh, okay. Well,
if you want to know, here's the description, since you were very excited for Sir, You Are Being Hunted, Jason.
Nice, okay.
Sir, You Are Being Hunted is a game where you are tasked with surviving on an island that is procedurally generated, dodging robot hunters out to get you, and scavenging for food along the way. I read it because it had robot hunters in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There's some promise there.
All right, so those are the new releases. Hopefully there was some excitement in there for you. If not, oh well, maybe next week will be better.
Yeah. We don't make them. We just let you know what we find.
We just report on them.
Yep.
It's your job to find out if they're any good or not, if you so choose to. And then let us know.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And how can they let us know, Caleb?
If you would like to let us know, if you would like to be involved with our show, make it even more awesome than it already is, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. That's two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me. And finally, you can catch us at ye olde email on robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And then finally, if all that's just like, wait, too much, calm. Robotsattack.me. Everything you wanted to know before, links to all the other things under the button that says interact. And we also have archive episodes of our show there. And you can also leave comments on the website as well. But please interact with us more. We love it when you do. It's totally awesome.
Yes, it's an interactive show.
Woo!
Alrighty, well, we're going to take a quick music break and then come back with the news. And the news, we post all of our news stories to both our Facebook and Twitter pages, so because usually they're accompanied with pictures or videos and stuff like that, so you can go and check them out at your leisure. But before all that, let's play some music. I'm going to play a track from a band that I'm really starting to enjoy right now. It's called Miss Mister. Song is Bones. The album title, Secondhand Rapture. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack. Oh, you know what I should do?
No.
Glad I almost forgot. I forgot to read our PSA, almost.
Oh, very
almost
important.
Forgot.
Okay.
And if you're familiar with the show, you're going to be familiar with this one. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. All right, let's get to the music. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are now on the news. Gentlemen, let us educate them with some news.
Okay.
Throw out the knowledge.
Our first story, which is going to qualify as our robot story for the evening.
All right.
Is all about trying to make skin that is closer to robotic. I know that probably sounds a little bit off because robots generally aren't the most touchy-feely things, but...
Not known for it, no.
They're figuring out some ways around that. An article at Engadget is about a new e-skin created by Martin Kaltenbrunner and Takeo Sameya at University of Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Now... They figured out how to make a metallic film that is 1 nanometer thick.
All right. That's very, very, very thin. That's like close to the width of a human hair, right?
Actually, much, much less as far as I can tell.
Oh, wow.
Because they've figured out how to make these thicknesses into integrated circuits, and altogether these integrated circuits end up becoming 2 micrometers thick.
Ah.
So you can make a really complicated thing out of all of these nanometers, and that 2 micrometers of thickness ends up being 1/50th the size of a human hair in width.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't even know, like, how to convert that into the 1 nanometer thickness, but I'm sure if you're more into all of the nano things, you can do that just with the snap of your finger.
If only there was something on, some way to search this on the internet.
Right.
Anyways, continue.
Not implying that anybody should do that at all. But anyway... So
the
with
Matrix?
These complicated integrated circuits that they can make of this stuff, they can do all sorts of really interesting things to make really interesting skin substances that actually function like human skin in practically every way that you can think of. You can throw temperature sensors into it. You can throw pressure sensors into it. You can easily make it into a mesh that ends up taking a full range of vital signs from a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You can throw it directly onto the skin. It looks a little bit odd because it is still shiny, and it is layered between a bunch of layers of ultra-thin plastics. The other thing that's kind of interesting about it, though, is that it's really, really tough stuff. It's almost impossible to destroy through crumpling and tearing, apparently.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it has something to do with it actually being attached to a skin surface is helpful.
Yeah.
But the other side of it, too, is it can function up to 160 degrees centigrade, and it's completely waterproof.
Huh.
So you can literally throw the stuff on the inside of your mouth if you want to and take readings for what's happening in there. I don't know if you're really into that or not, but you can. You can do that. So anyway, the entire idea of this is that you can do by adding enough of these layers, you can make a completely functional human type of skin that can either supplement humans for making them so they can regain lost abilities, or... it's just for making robots so that they can actually do this stuff on their own also.
Wow. That's very cool. And just for scale, the micrometer is, a nanometer is 1/1000th of a micrometer,
and a human hair is roughly 75 micrometers.
Hmm.
Yeah. So in other words, very, very small.
This is so small. You have to you would need a very, very good microscope to even acknowledge that this thing existed in its
you'd need originally. A micrometer scope.
Something like that. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm incredibly science savvy. That's why I talk about all the scientific stuff because I am science savvy.
Indeed. But that is
moving on.
That is a super cool story. So from being able to create a skin which will sense to adding more sense to the senses you already have.
Okay.
AKA adding a HUD to your motorcycle helmet.
Man, you're HUDing it up all over the place lately.
Yeah. The other week I mentioned the working on a HUD device for GPS for your car. Well, now, motorcycle riders, you are not left out in the cold. There is one for you as well. And I just thought that this is so cool because, like, this is the stuff that, like, science fiction, like, has been, like, promising forever. And it's like you just slide your goggles down and drop your helmets on, and all of a sudden, bling, 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 you know, these, like, holographic displays, like Iron Man. Like, that's pure, like...
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And so this is getting closer and closer to what that actually looks like. And it's pretty cool. Like, it had they have mostly a concept drawing on the article, but they're kind of like showing like what they're planning on having it do, which is, you know, show you which turn indicator you're using, which way to go, what's your speed. They also are pointing out that it has race rider applications. So they can see like on their just in a glance, just while they're looking forward, what's my lap time? What lap are we on?
Oh,
what's my split? Who's what? You know, maybe
is
what,
it a 710?
Not in this case.
Okay.
But, you'd actually have, like, the information you need to potentially either improve your standing or win the race. Or just, like, the idea of, like, that information not having to be processed by the ear, you can just visually know where you're going, what's it's doing with your race team. It's just, there's all kinds of cool things going on in the world
of HUD.
Putting information in front of you in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, like, go... I'm looking at the road. How fast am I going? Look down off the road. Oh, that's how fast I'm going. Oh, they stopped. Crash, 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 crash.
Yeah. Which may or may not have been what caused the end of days accidents that we had earlier this evening.
Yeah. So
lack of HUD, people.
Just show the science fiction and technology. They're all coming together, and it's a lovely, lovely connection, I think.
Yeah, and it's a big thing in video games too, like how developers use HUDs and heads-up displays. If you don't know what a HUD is,
yes, you know,
in various games and stuff, and how some are very effective and some really need to be worked on and stuff like that. So it is pretty cool. Yeah, that'll be pretty soon. Science fiction will be
science fact.
Wow,
every day it seems like it's turned that way, which. It's a very exciting time right now.
It's very cool. Yeah.
Indeed, indeed.
All right, well,
to quote Tank.
yes, Tank. Well, if you're just joining us, there are Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in the news. So from heads-up displays to story I grabbed from IGN, huge shock.
Oh.
This story is about Sony and Panasonic developing a 300 gigabyte successor to Blu-ray.
Ooh. Already?
Partnership anticipating...
Cut it out, people.
2015 release date. Now, but see, here's the thing.
Okay.
You might not have to worry too much because I'll read the story.
I'm sweating bullets right now.
Yeah, I know. I'll get you a towel, but you might not need it once I finish the story.
Okay.
Okay, so right now, a dual-layer Blu-ray disc is capable of holding about 50 gigabytes of data. And while the next generation of video game consoles will both feature Blu-ray compatibility, it seems Sony isn't satisfied with the current technology's limitations. Sony has teamed up with Panasonic to create a new optical disc capable of storing up to 300 gigabytes of information. Panasonic released a statement on the collaboration with the tech companies working jointly to create a new disc standard by the end of 2015.
Oh, okay.
The 300 gigabyte optical discs are geared toward professional use, with the new storage capacity offering unique advantages to archivists and video editors, for example.
Yeah.
Both Sony and Panasonic have previously released storage options which combine multiple optical drives into one cohesive drive. So it's not immediately clear how this will affect gamers and whatnot, but they could release, you know, Sony could release new discs under a Blu-ray marketer or attempt to make the disc compatible with the PlayStation 4. But realistically, the disc would likely prove cost prohibitive and unnecessary for storing game data. Mm. But whereas today's AAA games may only require around 15 gigabytes of information, advancements in technology could mean significantly larger files in just a matter of years. And when internet service providers are capping your bandwidth, you might just need a new trusty old optical disc after all. So really, it's more towards professional use. So I wouldn't, you know, that's why I say I wouldn't mm-hmm. worry too much. And since you don't really do some of the examples that they mentioned, I mean,
right.
obviously you're a gamer, but it's yeah. like, yeah, right now, you know, it's not something like, oh, great, I got to throw out my Blu-ray disc now and get a whole new one. No,
not yet.
It'll be a while. And
so basically people that will be using this stuff will be like George Lucas or Spielberg or some production or yeah, the next Avengers film.
Yeah, companies that want to store a bunch of stuff and be able to put, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, for gamers, cloud is going to fill in the gap for a fairly good amount of time also.
Yeah, true. So, but yeah, something to look out for in the future.
Okay.
Definitely.
Our next story comes from Gizmodo. I'm a big fan of when people do the inventive stuff. Well, somebody realized that opening bottles is way too difficult right now.
It can be. It depends on the bottle.
Well, think about it. Like, if you have to open the bottle with a can, with a bottle opener.
Yes.
Not a can opener. That would be more difficult.
Considerably.
Right. But anyway, if you have to do that, you have to use both hands right now in order to do that. I mean, that's ludicrous in this day and age.
I know. Where's my robot that opens the bottles for me?
Right. How are you going to use a mouse and open your beer at the same time?
Exactly.
It just doesn't make any sense. Well, thankfully, somebody solved that. A photographer, of all things, in Denver, Colorado, named Mark Manger.
Made a wall-mounted bottle opener. Wait, no, something else entirely.
Well, sure. I mean, okay, that's not bad. But then you actually have to mount something to the wall, so that's also effort.
True.
But he figured out a pretty neat little cantilever design that when it's sitting on top of your bottle cap, it reminds me the most of kind of a futuristic milled aluminum version of the grenade lever for a grenade.
Okay.
It kind of sticks out a little bit over the side, but of course it sticks up a little bit more, so it hooks it, and with one hand you can thread a finger through the middle of it and pop the entire thing just by squeezing with one hand.
Huh.
That's actually really awesome.
Yeah, it looks pretty slick, too. I have to admit, I kind of want one. But, see, the thing is, too, it's such a simple design because it's just, like I said, a milled piece of aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of want to make it myself.
Head over to your nearest, tech shop.
DIY milling facility.
Yeah. Whatever your local hacker space is, that would be totally awesome.
Yeah. It looks like it's roughly like 3/8 inch aluminum, which is not cheap, but if you get it in a small enough chunk, you can do it pretty easy. And
that's
the guy's
expensive.
Selling them for a reasonable price, but they're so popular because people need to use their other hand for stuff while opening beers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a huge backlog.
Or soda.
On the thing.
Or, yeah. Open up your
it's
bottle.
It's true. There are some sodas that are so good that they need to be opened in ludicrously difficult ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true.
Your beverage
or previous,
of choice.
Yes. Previously ludicrously difficult ways.
True. Yeah.
Until now.
Yes.
Until now.
Right. Solved.
Serious. So the power of science to refresh. From there, we go to the power of science to increase understanding, which is one of the things it does best. And there's a group that is currently working on gaining more understanding about the science of the great white shark. Now,
but why? I mean, who cares? It's just the most amazing creature ever.
One of.
Ever.
I mean, it's sort of, and on top of that, they don't really know where they come from. Like, they disappear from their typical... living areas, and then they come back, and there's more of them.
They do not know how that happens or where they go. So
I'm sensing a Pacific Rift someplace.
More on that
the
later.
The invasion yeah. has begun.
A group called Oriark, I believe is how it's pronounced. It's like ocean. It's like you combine arc, like a curve, and ocean together. You get okay. the word.
I'm
and
trying to form it with hand movements. And,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. I got it.
All right, so they are the ones that are heading up this project to tag great white sharks and, you know, humanely tag them and release them back into the wild and find and just try and figure out where they're going.
Where they're going.
Plus, they just look that much more awesome with piercings.
Who doesn't?
Right.
So, yeah, when the more we can understand about the creatures, the better we can protect ourselves from them, and also the better we can coexist with them and not be like part of their food chain or trying to remove them from our food chain.
That's a pretty good picture I'm seeing on your screen. The shark is totally just looking at the guy like, "Hey, what's up? Why am I here?
It's like,
what's the deal?
I can't breathe this stuff. Where's my water?"
He looks very calm. Yeah. It might be because it's a static picture and not video.
It could be.
Might help a little bit.
And it's a fish, effectively.
But. Yeah. If you check out our pages, you will find the article there for further details. But there we go. More awesome science.
Okay.
As well as the cool bottle opener also.
Cool
bottle you mentioned it looked really cool, so if people want to actually see it since it's the radio.
I mean, don't take my word for it. Look at the website.
Look at it. Okay. It's beautiful.
Right. Sorry.
Okay, well, from sharks to Disney and Harvey Weinstein team for Artemis Fowl movie adaption.
Huh.
For those who aren't familiar with Artemis Fowl, like myself, Artemis Fowl is about a 12-year-old Artemis who is a millionaire, a genius, and above all, a criminal mastermind.
Oh, okay.
But Artemis doesn't know what he's taken on when he kidnaps a fairy to harness her magic to save his family. These aren't the fairies of the bedtime stories. They're dangerous.
Dark fairies.
Yes. So, Walt Disney Studios announced today that it's partnered with producer Harvey Weinstein to bring Artemis Fowl to the silver screen. The movie will be based on the first and second installments and author, probably going to butcher this, I apologize, Eoin Colfer's best-selling children's fiction series. Huh. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix screenwriter Michael Goldenberg will pen the screenplay adaption. Robert De Niro and Jane Rosenthal will executive produce the film.
Oh, nice.
Quote, with its balance of mystery, adventure, and family appeal, Artemis Fowl is a natural fit for Disney, said Sean Bailey, president of Walt Disney Studios Motion Picture Production. Quote, we're looking forward to collaborating with Harvey on this exciting project. I feel as though everything is coming full circle, considering Bob De Niro and Jane Rosenthal brought me this book while I was still at Miramax, and within hours I told them I wanted the rights to this film, said Harvey Weinstein. I don't know if he sounds like that, but
right.
There you go. He's a powerful dude, so I tried to
invoke
some power.
It's pretty good. There's a little hint of used car salesman in
there,
too.
Yeah. This is a special project for me because my children absolutely love this book.
And
this,
vampire.
Well, some circles. This story is for everyone, and there is no one better than Disney to make a film that will excite people young and old. So there you have
it.
If you're familiar with Artemis Fowl or don't know and that sounds cool to you, it's coming.
All right.
It sounds pretty neat to me.
Yeah.
I won't lie.
Check it out.
Could be.
If Bobby De Niro is into it, I might be into it.
You might be into it?
I might be into it.
Nice.
Anyway, to bring you more of the stuff that is cool and completely inventive, what started out as a simple school project is turning into a fully featured, like, normal implement just because it was so well thought out. I know you've probably never looked at scissors and thought to yourself, how can I improve these so that they are way cooler than they are, but chances are if you've used scissors you've ran into the problem, how do I cut a straight line with these?
very, very carefully.
Yeah, you can you can do it by eye. You can crack out the ruler. Well, this guy figured out, this guy, Tomas Fetke, I think. I hope I didn't mess that up. Anyway, he figured out that, well, if you're using scissors along with paper, 9 times out of 10, you're using them on a table. And tables have a natural predilection for having straight edges on them.
Typically.
So,
or commonly, I should say.
Right. And so why not make a pair of scissors that can actually write along the edge of a table so that you can make your perfect slices effortlessly? And he came up with a really neat design. If you look at it straight down the blades as if it were like a rifle or something like that, you'd kind of imagine if you take a circle and cut 2 slices straight through it and took the 2 of the opposite slices away like they were pieces of pie that have freshly been eaten, and you left the other 2 slices to be the functional part of the handles. So you end up with a perfect right angle to actually slide along the edge of the table. It both slides on the top and the side of the table. And the actual blades of the scissors have been made in such a way that they're slightly off from where the handle ends up riding along the table, so it doesn't end up scuffing your table or messing it up in any way.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's well thought out. Much, much better than any of my school projects, I have to admit. Which is, it pains me, but I have to admit it.
It just means
good job, Tomas.
Yeah, a lot of smart people out there. Holy smokes. All right. So, we're going to take a brief pause for someone who cares.
The Jewish Film Festival, taking the expansive and ever-changing notion of Jewish culture. At the 33rd San Francisco Jewish Film Festival, the festival runs from July 25th through August 12th in theaters in San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, Piedmont, Palo Alto, and San Rafael. Experience a full complement of films, festivities, and special appearances. For more information about festival films and events, please call 415-621-0523 or visit sfjff.org.
Right on. So we're going to transition into from movies and really smart projects with scissors to holes in the sun. There's not really a good transition there. I'm sorry.
Somebody threw the scissors at the sun because they're Superman, because they're in the movies, and made a hole in the sun with the scissors.
Sure. Either that or you queue up Soundgarden and just kind of groove out to that for a while. anyway, they a group out of the from the Solar and Helioscopic Observatory, or SOHO, a group in NASA have discovered...
I've heard of that. They're in New York, right?
There is a SOHO in New York.
Oh, okay.
There's also a SOHO in London, but that's different.
Okay.
Than the New York and from the NASA one. They found that there a new, what they refer to as a coronal hole in the sun, and that is a...
Wait, what?
That is a space on the surface of the sun's atmosphere, which is cooler, darker, and is where there's gaps in the magnetic field. So the solar winds actually like are faster there.
Okay. So it's a solar low pressure system.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, the particles that stream out of these areas are as many as 3 times faster than the normal solar winds released from the rest of the solar atmosphere.
Because they're charged with dark energy, right? No? No?
Yeah. Not sure. They're still, this is one of the why space science is awesome, because there's so much we still don't know about the thing that's been above our heads for several million years. Anyway, they noticed that the
clouds?
I have to admit, I don't know anything about clouds. I'm right there with you, man.
It's apparently where everything is stored.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Occasionally it rains down and they break apart sometimes.
But I'm just going to start throwing my video games at them. They stick.
Hold this cloud.
No, hold this. Oh, get a little higher.
They keep saying how well this works.
They notice that these coronal holes are not uncommon. Their frequency
does change with activities in the solar cycle, and they've currently reached an 11-year peak in activity. So it's just really interesting that that they are using a brand new satellite to track this information and gain even more insight into our greatest source of energy ever so far. So there you go. A little space science for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that's going to wrap up our news portion of the show. I think we educated the folks as well as entertained them. And,
right.
Again, you can check out all the links to all of our stories on our Facebook page and our Twitter page.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we're going to take another music break, and then we'll come back with some game discussion, where I will talk about, I finally got a chance to play the 400 Days DLC for The Walking Dead. So I'll briefly mention that, and then we will jump into the core, which will be some movies that we saw from July, and possibly some more Comic-Con. We'll see. Just all depends on time and how passionate we get on stuff.
Yes. Because
you know us, it's crazy. It could be anything. So.
It go anyway.
Exactly.
But it's always awesome.
It's always awesome. Definitely want to stick around for that. All right. Track I'm going to play is called Used to It from Rogue Wave from Nightingale Floors. All right. You're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Do you want to listen to KSCU even when you're not near your radio? You can stream us whenever you want at www.kscu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara. We are now in the game discussion portion of the show, and I finally had a chance to tackle the 400 Days DLC for the Telltale game of The Walking Dead. Now, this DLC, I believe, does require at least the first episode of The Walking Dead. I don't think you need all of them, but you really, in my humble opinion, you really should. I think the game itself is a fantastic game to play, actually, with couples. Or even if you have someone that isn't necessarily a gamer, but doesn't mind watching or likes getting involved in a story, like I think you and Elaine, Caleb, should play The Walking Dead ASAP.
You tonight.
I think you both would really like it.
Because
the story is really good. Like the choices that you have to make and the dialogue options. Like, I don't know how much you've played, if you've had a chance to play any of it. Or
I actually have not had a chance to try it out.
It does a really sort of cool thing as well as a frustrating thing. Most of the dialogue choices have a time limit on them. So you have to choose, for some of them, really fast. For most, you have a fair enough time to read the options. Sometimes it was kind of like, oh, crap, okay, which one is, you know, like before the timer runs, I want to pick the one I want. But it really does sort of force you to think about it, but be quick about it, because it, like, the situation, you need to respond to it. Otherwise, you know, like, it's not like most, like Mass Effect, take a shot. You know, you have a lot of time for most of the, you know, dialogue options to pick whatever you want. Not so much in The Walking Dead. But as far as 400 Days DLC, basically it's it follows five separate characters, and they're like kind of little vignettes, and they take place within these 400 days of the zombie apocalypse and stuff. And so you can play them in any order. It's kind of cool. It's like, it starts off, basically you walk up to this this board that has a bunch of missing persons on it, like pictures and stuff. And the five you can choose from are in color, while the rest are kind of, it's not black and white, but kind of brown. Like, there's no real color to them.
Right.
And you pretty much select whomever you want, and it follows that character. And some of them, like, can be maybe 15 minutes long. Like, some of them can be really short.
Uh-huh.
They're not, it's not a terribly long game. You'll finish it like in an hour or two. Like,
oh, wow.
It's really short, but it's just, it's pretty solid. Like, you have to make some tough choices. And mm-hmm. some, like, you'll be things where you're like, okay, I think this is the right decision to make and could totally backfire on you. But that's sort of the really great thing about the Walking Dead series.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't really a good or bad choice. Like,
it's sort of like, what do you think the character would do?
Yeah. Or how you want to play. Like, and mm-hmm. you know, the main one, like how you want to play Lee. Like
right.
there's, depending on the dialogue options, you know, you can play him a bunch of different ways. And so it's kind of like how you want him to react in these situations. And so it's kind of the same with these other characters. And there are little hints here and there from the first season of the Walking Dead game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one is kind of like, you might not notice it. The other one, like if you kind of remember from the very last episode, you'd be like, oh yeah, those people, blah, blah, blah. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's like there's little nods to it, but
it's own thing.
It's kind of its own thing, but I think it's because it's taking place between season one and season two that's coming out in the fall.
Right.
So my guess is like these characters will probably show up in some capacity in season two, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure like how big they'll play.
Okay.
But yeah, one nice thing is it kind of does away with a lot of the dumb puzzles. I do puzzles with air quotes that uh-huh. was in within the first season of The Walking uh-huh. Dead. Like, it kind of got better. They realized that there some of the puzzles they had to do were kind of just time wasters, and they're like, uh-huh. people don't really care about those.
Mm-hmm.
They want
the story.
Yeah, they like the story, and there are some action moments in it. The controls are better than they were in season one, but this is not a first-person shooter. So,
yeah.
like, you know. And there's no option to invert, which still bugs me. But for most people out there, that won't really be a big deal. But yeah, if you have played The Walking Dead Season 1, I personally highly recommend picking up 400 Days. It's very cheap. And yeah, it's a bridge between Season 1 and Season 2. So
cool.
Yeah.
And like I said, yeah, if you have a significant other or someone that like, maybe isn't a huge gamer, but likes to watch you game or, you know, is into story-based games more than, say, like, you know, just
shooters,
the first-person shooters
right.
or something like that. Walking Dead is awesome. I mean, it tells a really good story. You're going to be like, Lee and Clementine, you'll be amazed, like, how attached you'll get to Clementine. I was just like, oh, man, ah. So yeah, I recommend the 400 Days.
Cool. Yeah. All right. You have to check that one out. I remember hearing good things about the like we're liking the story of the Telltale was telling.
I don't know if it's still true now, but for a while the first episode was free on a lot of places. So
yeah, they ended up redoing that on the Xbox. So I don't know if it's still in effect again, but I know they at least temporarily did it again not so long ago.
Yeah, and I know not so long ago, I think they had like all the episodes like 50% off or something like.
Right.
They seem to put it on sale fairly often. So, and there is a retail disc version also that you can buy if you feel so inclined to go that route instead of.
And there's the Steam too, which I have.
As well.
Which, since my computer is almost always not attached to things, it ends up not doing me very much good.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I didn't really notice any real bugs in the 400 Days, but Season 1, there are definitely some bugs and errors, and I know some people had, like, some troubles with their saves, like, disappearing and stuff like that. I mean, it's like a lot of games. Some people are unfortunate and run into some crazy bugs and others don't. Like, I think I had one bug where it, like, the camera like shot to the floor or something. So it was kind of like looking up and I couldn't go anywhere. So like, well, this sucks. But So there you have it. There's 400 Days, The Walking Dead.
Nice.
Sweet. All right. I think, gentlemen.
Yes.
It is time.
Is it time?
Is it time to go in?
It's time to go in.
Okay. All
right.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
That's right. We are now in the core, where we are going to be discussing a couple of the July films of the summer.
It's a regular July film festival of two films.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see as many films as we would have liked. But, there were a lot.
Scheduling conflicts.
Mostly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of us.
And there was, like, tons and tons of movies that seemed to come out this time.
Yeah,
around.
This month was a busy month. I mean, not all the films apparently were terribly great, but there were a lot of films that came out this month.
Yeah, the movie industry threw down the gauntlet this last month.
Yeah, there's definitely something for everyone. So I think we should talk about, since two of the three of us saw this one, let's talk about this first and then the next one. All three of us saw, so...
Sounds good.
Right. So, that film being The Wolverine.
Uh-huh. Excellent voice, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's close to Batman, but it's dead on Wolverine.
Swear to me! That but you'll see The Wolverine, maybe, if you're so inclined.
So, initial impressions, guys? Beyond the impersonations
of Batman,
right?
Addressing the Wolverine.
Well, okay. Right off the bat, I was super nervous. Granted, we did end up going to see a later than average showing of it, but the theater was absolutely dead. So,
really?
I am completely surprised that it ended up dominating. To be honest,
we did see it in a theater that wasn't attached to a mall or any sort of shopping area. So
that is true.
That does play a factor into it somewhere. But
still,
yeah.
Four people in a giant theater.
There were some more. But,
oh, okay.
But yeah.
Oh,
but
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There was a small group that came in.
When we first got there, it was just Jason and I in this giant theater. And we're like, wow.
Right.
I mean, there was
it's
about...
like one of the classic dome-style theaters, too. So with two people, we could hear the echo of
our voices
coming back at us.
That's kind of trippy.
I mean, we're about... half an hour, 40 minutes before the movie started. So,
but
it was like
for a new release for a major feature, you would expect to be at least a
We were afraid we wouldn't be able to get the tickets.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh.
But yes, I say my opinion. Definitely better than the Wolverine original movie.
Wolverine X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't know why people seem to be comparing it on equal terms. Like, it seems like they're saying, like, okay, it has the edge, it's a little bit better. No, hands down, this is way better than the last one.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. It frustrates me that people implanted that into my mind that this was going to be that bad. But at the same time, I guess I'm almost glad because I wasn't disappointed as much as I could have been either. So, I mean, thank you, people who oversold its badness.
Yeah. It's not a perfect film, but I enjoyed watching it. Like I had fun. I thought it's weird. It's definitely not a high action film. Like it has moments, some action moments and stuff like that, which were very cool.
Which is where it starts tripping over its feet, in my view, every once in a while.
Yeah. But overall, it's kind of surprising. Like more of a character study film of the Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like there's more drama and kind of slower parts and stuff like that. So if you're going in expecting like X-Men crazy action everywhere and stuff, that people we've gotten kind of used to with the, previous superhero movies that have been out lately.
And that was kind of the problem with the last Wolverine movie too. It seemed like it was trying to upstage all of these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it did a horrible job of doing it because every single action scene was just absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
And what, you mean using adamantium claws to ignite a stream of diesel to blow up a helicopter by
and launch yourself with a motorcycle is not somehow believable?
I had no problem with that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the motorcycle bit was a bit much, but other than that, I mean, completely logical. I mean, it's metal.
It works.
Throws sparks.
It's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was actually I wasn't super familiar with this storyline from the comics.
I wasn't either.
So maybe some of the things that did actually surprise me in this wouldn't be surprising to people who are familiar with. But there are definitely some moments where I was like, whoa, I was not expecting that to happen.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I couldn't tell for a long time in the movie. I couldn't tell if the movie was just written really badly or really smartly for keeping you off balance for what the story was.
Uh-huh.
Because in the end, I actually sort of respected how it all wrapped together because I was, like he said, generally, like genuinely surprised by different parts of it. Because there's a lot of characters, there's a lot of them that have different loyalties to different people, and you feel like you have it buttoned down, like, okay, well, this person is in this camp, and, okay, why are they doing this? I don't quite... Is it because the movie's bad? But it seems like they're doing neat stuff. And then it all comes together and makes sense at the end, which really surprised me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it has some, like... genuinely humorous moments. I mean, like,
there's some really funny stuff in it.
That part where they go to that one hotel and that the lady with the cat.
I love that. Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, and the veterinarian later was pretty good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of really funny stuff. There's, like you mentioned before, a lot of genuine character moments that feel like they're executed really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because I know that, I'm blanking on his name, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
I know he has some talent to be like a really good actor on stuff when he has the right director disciplining him, I believe, is the trick for him. But this one, it always felt like it was kind of 50-50. It always felt like he was a little bit over the top on being like, oh, I'm gruff. But for the most part, it kept it really in a good place where it's like, oh, I'm gruff. I have feelings, too. I mean, I probably could make it sound better than that. It probably completely lost everybody who's interested in seeing the movie by me doing a little puppet voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it actually hits the emotional notes pretty well, I felt like.
Mm.
Yeah. And I forgot this dude was in it. I remembered seeing him in the trailer and then completely forgot, but... I'm probably going to butcher his name, but I apologize, dude. Probably not listening anyway, but it's...
He's totally listening.
Hiroyuki Sanada. He was like the main guy in this film called Twilight Samurai. He was also
good.
The Last Samurai. He's been in a bunch of stuff. I think that dude is awesome.
I was glad to see him in this.
Yeah, and supposedly he's in this movie called... I think it's 47 Ronin with Keanu Reeves, and
it looks pretty insane.
But yeah, I think he's going to be in it. So yeah, like seeing him, I was like, awesome, cool. And the main chick that like Logan is, you know, rolling around with a lot, I thought was pretty cute too. So that was cool.
Right? Yeah,
never hurts. You have an attractive leading lady.
My brain always has a hard time, no matter who he's with in any given movie. Like, as soon as he feels any sort of attachment other than purely platonic, I end up thinking, like, what's wrong with you? You're an old man. Come on now. How old are you? But then again, they don't make people his age.
That's true.
Yeah. As old
Wolverine. I have to bring it back down to that.
Yeah.
Nearly immortal is kind of a difficult age range to find an adequate mate in.
Right, and if he finds anybody close, he's probably not attracted to them.
Or they're trying to kill him for some reason or another.
True.
Yeah, often.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, speaking of Wolverines,
and other adorable animals. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes?
I tried.
But I have limited time to volunteer. Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local... finding loving, foster, and forever homes for local pets in our... They're looking to help people find animals they can keep with. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us on sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. Got through it.
Ooh. Warning, SJ Animal Advocates may not have Wolverines.
Yeah, probably don't have Wolverines, but it was the closest sort of segue that I could make. Sort of make it smooth.
Mm-hmm. You're disappointing a lot of children out there. That's all I'm going to say. I'm disappointed in you for you disappointing children.
I better disappoint them now before they get there and they're disappointed at the shelter. We want a Wolverine. Like, we don't have those kids. Sorry. But we have these lovely kitties and puppies.
Like, I'll take one of those.
They're not dangerous enough. What about a honey badger?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, now, I see why they had to have they had a lot of Wolverine like falling asleep or knocking out and then waking up. They had like a lot of those moments in the movie, but they did them with like transitions of him seeing Jean Grey. So it's like I knew why, you know, why they had to have them, but like it is sort of
disjointing.
Yeah, it's kind of like not exactly the here's a parking scene in Birdemic, but it's, you know, it's like there were like another I'm falling asleep and waking up scene, or I'm knocked out and I'm, you know, waking up scene. Like there, it did seem like there were a lot more of those than in a typical movie.
Yeah.
But I see why they did them. Like, it's just, you know, it is something that you may or may not notice. Like, I noticed them, but I was like, oh, okay.
Especially
I mean,
after he says, oh, I'm not going to sleep. And then he sleeps.
Yeah. Yeah. I did really like that scene, though, when they were shooting him with all the arrows and all the ropes in the back.
It's funny. I've heard people complaining about that for some reason, but
I thought it looked really cool.
Yeah, like, it looked cool and it made sense because somebody was complaining today, like, oh, it should have been a massive fight scene with the ninjas, like, actually fighting it out. They're ninjas. They don't do that.
Really? You want to run up to a guy that has, like, giant claws out of his arms who can heal instantly? That makes a lot of sense. Right, I want to take on that guy. No,
that
I want to shoot at him from a distance.
Slaughter a whole bunch of Yakuza.
Ninjas are not necessarily in for the whole, I'm going to get up in your face and stab you with my sword. They're like, I'm going to stay back here and kill you from distance.
Right. They're plinkers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So, any questions for us before we move on to the next?
Yes, bring it.
Come
on, impress me.
How were the special effects in the film? I saw that the trailer has a lot of kind of big effects moments. Were they bad, good? Is it 3D worthy, or should just watch it 2D?
Well, we didn't see it in 3D.
No. Okay. I don't know that it's really needed in 3D. It seems like they tried to make the normal, like, oh, here's a fist coming at you, and like 3D moments. I don't know.
Okay.
Don't see it for that. To me, all of the super special effects parts were kind of, well, it's where it got into the danger zone of being the weakest parts of the movie.
Mm.
Like, I'm sure people have seen from preview, there's an entire, like, train fight scene that goes on way too long and ends up having way too cheesy of little fighting moves and whatnot. But it does have, like, one of the funniest parts, too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so I like that particular part.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, the entire movie is built that way. There's little gems peppered all over the place, but they're hidden in spots that it's like, I'm not sure. Like, okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, how about the... one last question, the villain? How was the villain in this one?
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. Okay.
It's
like 50-50.
Yeah.
To be honest.
They're fine. it's definitely the story between Logan and the girl he's protecting probably the more interesting one. But
yeah,
it kind of has like your typical like businessman villain and then other, you know, mutant villain and stuff like that. So
okay,
yeah,
they're fine. Nothing horrible, but nothing like, oh, that's pretty awesome. Like,
yeah. All right, so there, nothing like Magneto level kind of thing.
The like truly dangerous people and whatnot. So
gotcha. Yeah. All right, cool. Sounds like fun. May have to go check that
and then
one out.
Yakuza.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah,
I mean,
it'd be hard to do
it's
it.
In
if
Japan,
you're in Japan. You gotta
guys.
Have, yeah, you gotta have the Yakuza.
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh, some very beautiful locations.
Mm.
Japan,
oh yeah,
Japan
actually.
Is definitely a place I would love to visit.
Yes,
I've heard good things.
Yeah. So cool. So from a movie set in Japan to another movie like totally inspired by Japan,
pretty much
Japanese stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Pacific Rim.
Woo!
I think we know how Caleb felt about the movie.
And actually, I'm like 95% right there with you. There's a lot of stuff that I really love about it, especially like the incredibly heavy referencing of Evangelion. Like it's at least 50% Evangelion in my view.
Hmm.
So, Caleb.
Yes. I actually saw Pacific Rim. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It was exactly what I was expecting in all the best possible ways. It's like when I saw the previews, I'm like, all right, giant monster movie with giant robots. I want to see this already. Guillermo del Toro, excellence. Have good monsters and good robots. Good, good. Saw it. It was exactly that. It was, and I want to get up on my chair and cheer. It was fun. It's not the deepest movie ever, but it doesn't try to be. That's one of the things I like about it. It's not trying to be more than it is, which is giant robots smacking down giant monsters in improbable ways. It's just cool that way.
Yeah.
So I was a fan.
It set its own set of rules, and it lived within those set of rules in a believable, realistic way for those set of rules, which I liked. It didn't, once you know what the deal is, it doesn't stray any farther out from that. It's Godzilla movies, and
yes.
It's trying to be a little bit more highbrow than that, but still. It's made for that level of fun.
Yeah,
and
it's an extremely well-made kaiju movie, which is a term for the Godzilla flicks from the 70s and 80s.
Big monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big monsters. Big monsters. Yeah, we take them down with big robots. It's good times, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how about you?
This movie is so weird for me because I think I liked all the stuff that everyone hated.
Uh-huh.
And I...
People hated parts of that movie?
And I... Yeah, I'll explain in a second. And thought the stuff that everyone really enjoyed was okay.
Uh-huh.
Like, despite the really cheesy or horrible dialogue, I really liked all the parts with Charlie Hunnam and Rinko Kikuchi. Sorry, apologize. Mm-hmm. But, like, I really liked those two characters, like, when they were together. Like, I have a soft spot for, like, hot Japanese chicks, obviously, but also for the Charlie guy from Sons of Anarchy. Like, for some reason, like, I just think that guy is super cool. Like, and it's just, the movie is, like, it has some of the, like, cheesiest dialogue and situations that are so, like, either over the top or just classic. Like, you've seen it in tons of other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like Top Gun or any of those other things. But if you get the right actors, like for me, they can pull it off.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have a few like little twists to it. Like I know some critics actually didn't like their like those two relationships as far as like there never was this like, oh, they love each other or this or that. Like I liked how they kind of kept it like friends, Maybe right. more than friends. Right. Friends, like, I really liked that relationship.
They had camaraderie and chemistry without having to be like, so, my
yeah.
place?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Which I think was a smart choice because he's not the best at doing those sort of relationships in his movies. I think yeah. the Hellboy movies, both of them suffered because he's not terribly great at all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. he really wants
he
to be.
He wants to be, but...
But he's yeah. not when, quite, yeah.
Yeah, and so now... Like I really enjoyed those parts, and I, for, when I say hate, I think in most of the reviews that I read, when they talk negatively about the movie, it was like the human parts. So yeah. now moving on to the giant robots and monster things, I understand why he shot all the fights in the dark and in the rain. I was not a huge fan of that though, unfortunately, because for me, I couldn't see like. A lot of what was going on. Like, I could see it, but it just was, it became so, like, the same thing over. It was just like a giant robot punching the monster, and then the monster gets this, and then he punches again. Like, it just, there. I liked the parts where, like, there's one, sort of spoiler, but I don't care. He pulls out this blade, and the monster comes at him, and then they slices it in half. Like, that was really cool, because it was, like, unexpected, and kind of like, you know, a kind of fast motion.
And another,
like,
classic Japanese moment.
Yeah. But I guess I should paraphrase, like, I'm more of a fan. Like, I liked all the parts when they would cut from the robot to the pilots inside. Like, I liked all, because I'm more of a fan of, like,
the human side of it.
Yeah, but also, like, human-sized mech stuff. Like,
right.
I like that more. Like, if you look at the Robotech series, I preferred the series where the mechs were the motorcycles and they transformed and went onto the human bodies instead of the bigger ones. I mean, that's just a personal thing of mine. So, I mean, the giant robots, it was cool, but, like, I don't know.
I have to admit, one of my biggest disappointments was I wasn't completely sold on any of the designs for any of the robots, personally. The one that I liked the most was actually the Russian one. I loved the suits on the inside, too. Like, they had a big frowny face on them and, like, off-centered eyes.
Yeah.
That was so cool to me.
Yeah, just sad that none of those other, like, them and the Chinese ones don't get, like, hardly any love in that movie. It's right. like...
Yeah.
I think, to me, like, one of the best scenes in that movie... And I don't, Del Toro does, like... He's really good with directing children, I think. The scene where Mako is a little girl and the monster's in the city, like, to me, that was... Awesome. Like, that was really
literally
good.
You just mentioning it right now, I just had shivers down my spine.
Yeah, that was really good. Like, that part, like, I mean, it helped it was in the daytime and you could see a lot of stuff, but yeah, just like the emotions on that little kid's, like, face and just the stuff that was going on, like, that was really awesome. Yeah.
I really like how they threw the memory stuff into it. I thought it was a smart choice for making bringing in a different element into the entire movie and combining it seamlessly with the action because it was actually relevant for what's happening that moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, I sort of have the opposite reaction to you to the personal size stuff. Like, I thought they did a pretty good job on the suits. But there were a lot of elements on, especially the white suits, that they looked like super cheesy to me. Like, they were trying to be, I mean, they were selling it that way at the beginning of the movie, that it's like, oh, well, everybody became rock stars and they were superheroes and whatnot. And so they had the suits that kind of mirrored that.
Yeah.
And so later on, they end up with the dark suits, which is basically just like... carbon fiber version of the white suits, and that looks much cooler.
Yeah, I like the black ones better than the white ones.
Because black is always cooler. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Nerds are always going to geek out about the black suit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of wished that they would have thrown some of the other stuff that you were complaining, some of the darkness, like obscuring things, into some of that stuff. Because whenever they had... the person viewing a memory from the outside, they'd throw the guy in the suit into the scene, which made sense because they were outside of it but viewing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the suits are kind of dorky in some ways. And if they would have just had a little bit of shadow, that you could hide some of the more dark and dorky parts of those suits,
yeah,
it would have been absolutely perfect. But yeah, that's the one thing that jarred me out of that same scene that you were talking about, because the kid was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it, but then they show Hunan's character in the suit behind it, and it's like, whoa, what the heck is going on here? There's a spaceman.
Little girl.
Right. And it, like I said, still very cool suits, but when it's jarring like that, and it felt like it could have been handled just a little bit better. And I have a lot of respect for Guillermo Navarro, Guillermo del Toro's go-to guy for all of his DP stuff, because he always does really awesome, like, color themes. He always gets the shadows just right on stuff. I feel like he missed his mark on a lot of the stuff in this one, and I think it might have been just because it was so heavily a 3D animated film. I don't think he was able to get his fingers in there as much as he probably even hoped to.
Speaking on that, I just don't know if this movie is going to be that great, like, on TV screen. Like, even, I mean, even if you have a decent one, it's just like, this is like a movie you got to see in the theater if you want to see it. Like,
yeah, it's funny too.
I recommend that.
You were asking me when we were trying to figure out what showing to see. Well, should we see it IMAX? Should we see it 3D? And it turned out that IMAX was 3D. It was the only option at the time.
Yeah.
To me, the IMAX was a no-brainer because, I mean, giant robots. You need to see them big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that it was in 3D, because I was about to, like, shrug it off, but especially if you have the 3D along with an absolutely booming sound system where they don't care about the theaters next door, man, it puts you in it. Well, like you mentioned, Caleb, when we were leaving it, and since I ended up seeing it twice, once with each of them, that you and your wife were mentioning that first scene ended up really selling it, because it was just a really good giant monster scene.
Yeah.
With just full effect, like, things crashing and scraping and you being a scared little passenger of a car, effectively.
yeah, it was totally awesome. And hey, for the, those of you who are in our listening audience, you are listening to 103.3 FM, Santa Clara, KSCU Santa Clara, the underground sound. We are in the core talking about Pacific Rim on Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSCU. Yeah, I love the movie. And unfortunately, it looks like we're going to be out of time for too much longer, but final remarks. If you can still find it in theaters, please do. If you can find it in IMAX, see it. It's a lot of fun. Like we said, it's good. Just don't expect, like, Shakespeare. It's not Shakespeare.
It's not
going to
pack the punch that it was intended to pack, unless you see it on a big, nice screen with a good sound system.
Agreed.
At the very least.
Yeah.
The 3D is the icing on top. I don't think it's absolutely necessary, but yeah, it would be really good if you do all those things.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, and one last thing, one of our listeners, the girl that is, as you put it, rolling with Wolverine is Rila Fulishima, and and the Wolverine is her second acting cred.
Okay.
Interesting bit of trivia.
Is that the, I guess there's technically two.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's the samurai.
The red-haired one.
Is my bet.
Yeah. Okay, I was referring to the other one. That one was still cute. I thought the
she
other
was
one
cool.
was cuter.
One was cool. The other one was the super cute one. So that's the way that they obviously were trying to go.
Right
but,
on.
But thank you, listener.
Yes,
indeed.
But yeah. Let us know if you saw either film, what you thought of them, and if you saw some others, because July, like we said, was filled with lots of movies.
And the other thing, definitely stay through the credits for the Wolverine thing.
It has
a really big, like, post-credits thing.
Yeah, it's going to set up for X-Men Days of Future Past. So
Wait.
That doesn't spoil anything, but just, like, if you're not like,
no, it's there.
What is this about.
Yeah, so. It easily has like one of the biggest post-credit things that they've done in a long time. So
yeah, sweet. And speaking on that, Ron Perlman is a liar.
But why?
He said there was something really big at the end of the credits of Pacific Rim. He's a liar. Well, I mean, you can stay for the sort, like,
to me, it's a shawarma moment. That's what it is. It's not a big deal.
But he said it was big.
In his view, it's a big thing.
It's a big thing. Yeah. Yeah. For him.
It's a big Perlman shawarma
moment. Yeah. Without giving anything away. It's big for him.
Right. But if you thought shawarma was stupid, don't stay through the credits.
Yeah. Because I felt lied to. I was
waiting for a crossover with, like, Godzilla or
something. I was like, oh, I told, you know, people who were going to see it, then I wasn't able to see it. I was like, oh, yeah, Ron Perlman says there's something really big at the end of credits. Stick around for it. And I look like a complete idiot for saying that. But, oh, well. It's Ron Perlman.
I liked it. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Awkward.
Yeah. Everyone, thank you for listening. You can find us... on Facebook, we are Robots Attack. That's two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. Or you can find us on email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, we are always, always at robotsattack.me. That has the links to the other things, our social stuff, our email, and our archived episodes of our show. So if you feel like you wanted to find out our thoughts on other things in the past, check it out there. Leave us a comment. We would love to hear from you guys in the future.
Yeah, and tell us how awesome we are, because we want our egos to get, like, absolutely ginormous.
Or something like that.
Like, Jaeger size.
Ooh. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next Monday from 6 to 8 here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Thanks for listening. And remember, do something nice for someone who isn't expecting it. Huh?
Mm.
Huh? You'll be surprised at how good
you'll
feel.
And then trip them.
Yeah. That's...
Because I'll be expecting that even less. But then do something nice for them.
Help them up, right?
Well, at the very least. I'm talking about something better than that.
Oh, good.
Right. Buy them a hamburger. While they're still on the ground.
Like, but I'm a vegetarian.
That's your own fault.
You want this burger or not?
Haven't you heard of paleo? Come on.
All right. Take it easy. We're gonna have a good weekend.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mixto.